the U.S. Air Force brings F-15s back online. Cobham buys autopilot manufacturer S-Tech. And Houston's secret UAV test winds up on TV news. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 26, 2007. The majority of the F-15s used by the Air Force and Air National Guard units nationwide have been cleared to return to service. The entire fleet was ordered grounded one day after a catastrophic in-flight structural failure resulted in the loss of an F-15C November 2nd. General John D.W. Corley, Commander, Air Combat Command, released a statement last week to F-15 pilots, weapons systems officers, and maintenance professionals outlining the actions the Air Force has taken before returning the aircraft to service. Quote, Air Force maintenance and operations professionals and industry experts are working with the Accident Investigation Board to examine all aspects of the mishap. At the same time, structural engineers have conducted in-depth technical reviews of data from multiple sources. We continue to proceed in an inclusive and transparent fashion to derive, as best as humanly possible, the cause of the mishap. We evaluated the grounded fleet. First, we focused on the F-15Es. They are the newest F-15s and have been exposed to less stress. They are structurally different than the A through D models. Given these differences, and after consultation with Warner Robins Air Logistics Center and the AIB, we returned the F-15E fleet to flying status following successful inspections. Next, we concentrated on the remainder of the grounded fleet. The AIB is now focused on the area just aft of the cockpit and slightly forward of the inlets. I have directed each F-15 aircraft be inspected and cleared before returning to operational status. The F-15 is a formidable war-fighting aircraft and workhorse for our Air Force. I applaud each and every Eagle pilot, WSO, and maintainer for the meticulous and disciplined way you approach this challenge. Mission accomplishment entails risk. Together, we must remain vigilant and focused on operational risk management to mitigate this risk. We accept this risk because of our overriding duty to provide unrivaled combat air power for the defense of our country, unquote. As of today, all but 5 of the 224E models and 294 of the 442 A through D models in the inventory have been inspected and cleared for flight. Cobham PLC tells ANN that it has reached an agreement to purchase S-Tech Corporation from Meggitt PLC for $38 million. U.S. regulatory approval is expected by year's end. S-Tech designs, certifies, and manufactures autopilots for general aviation aircraft, ranging from small single-engined to light commuter aircraft. S-Tech is based at Mineral Wells Airport in Texas with a workforce of 180. Cobham notes that S-Tech is an excellent technological and market fit, and that original equipment manufacturers increasingly expect their avionics suppliers to provide integrated autopilots to reduce weight, wiring, and costs. Cobham also says it can leverage S-Tech's strong presence in the retrofit market to sell to owners of Atom, Cirrus, Eclipse, Piper, and Pilatus aircraft. The Houston, Texas Police Department last week conducted a secret test of an unmanned aerial vehicle for possible use in surveillance, traffic enforcement, search and rescue, and other applications. Or at least it was secret until a TV news station got a tip about black trucks, satellite and radar dishes at a remote location 70 miles outside town and showed up with its news helicopter. KPRC Television in Waller County reported locals thought the event was a top-secret military activity being conducted over sparsely populated farmland and ranches. The UAV was operated by a firm called In Situ Incorporated. The TV news coverage forced the department to go public with a press conference after the test. The station claims it was contacted by Houston police, told the airspace was restricted by the Federal Aviation Administration, and threatened with action. The station says a check with the FAA showed there was no TFR in effect. The department says more tests are planned. The helicopter used as Marine One, the official U.S. presidential ferry aircraft, is being replaced, but the Navy's attempt to use a modified British-sourced Augusta Westland Merlin helicopter, modified by Lockheed Martin, is running into a weight problem. Efforts to fix the problem have required such a rethinking of its structure that, in the words of one source quoted by Newsweek, quote, we're essentially designing a new helicopter, unquote. Modifications from the helicopter's off-the-shelf equipment include resilience against a nuclear blast, a communication suite equal to that of the Oval Office, state-of-the-art missile defenses, a 14-person cabin, and an executive bathroom. The special requirements of the mission and more than 800 design changes by Lockheed have bloated the Hilo's weight to 2,000 pounds more than it can support in a hover. The Navy and Lockheed report major progress on making the $1.7 billion bird work. Meanwhile, you know there have to be chuckles among engineers over at Sikorsky, makers of the old about-to-be-retired Marine One. You see, it seems that while the U.S. Navy wrestles with making a British-made Merlin work for our president, a U.S.-sourced Sikorsky S-76 C++ was just chosen as the new official transport for the British royal family. Up next on ANN, the ISS crew prepares for the arrival of Atlantis and Harmony. Fuel exhaustion could have been to blame for Cole Black's death. And six are injured when an A330 suffers sudden depressurization. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 26th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. International Space Station Commander Peggy Whitson and Flight Engineer Dan Tenney completed a 7-hour, 4-minute spacewalk just before noon Eastern Time on Saturday. They moved the external outfitting of the Harmony node to its new position in front of the U.S. Laboratory Destiny, as well as what NASA characterized as get-ahead work. And getting ahead is a welcome novelty in the shuttle program right now, given unexpected setbacks of late. NASA says the space shuttle Atlantis, which will carry the European Columbus module to dock with Harmony, is still on for a launch on December 6th. The seven astronauts will fly mission STS-122, completed a successful dress rehearsal on Tuesday of last week. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a preliminary report on the November 9th accident which claimed the lives of former Vietnam POW Cole Black and two other people aboard a Piper Aerostar 602P. As ANN reported, the plane was nearing the end of a flight from Roseburg, Oregon to McClellan Palomar Airport in San Diego County when it went down in a rural orange grove near Delano, California. The NTSB's prelim says that while the Aerostar can hold 165 gallons of fuel, pilot Bruce Klein reported just 15 gallons remaining in his last transmission to controllers. The board says Klein was requesting permission to land for fuel at Meadows Field Airport in Bakersfield. The crash site was north of the airport. NTSB mentions the possibility that the uneven tarmac at the departure airport may have prevented the tanks from filling to capacity. Six people are reported injured following a depressurization incident Wednesday during a shakedown flight of an Airbus A330 destined for Air Mauritius. According to Thomson Financial, two of the 10 people on board were transported to the hospital with serious injuries after the aircraft landed in Toulouse, France. An Airbus spokeswoman said the two had been unconscious for a while following the incident. Four others underwent tests for a variety of health problems caused by the sudden depressurization, including possible spine injuries and inner ear problems. Three people were in the cockpit when the incident occurred. The Associated Press reported that an unnamed Airbus press agent said, quote, "The seven others were moving between the cockpit and the cabin when a sudden and clearly strong depressurization occurred. Those standing couldn't reach the masks and fell unconscious because of a lack of oxygen," unquote. Neither a suspected cause nor the altitude at which the depressurization occurred were reported. A new skydiving record set this week was overclouded by the death of one of the jumpers. The Lakeland Ledger in Florida reports skydiver Joseph Lambreth of Gilbert, Arizona, died on Tuesday from injuries suffered during a practice jump last weekend. Lambreth was one of 100 jumpers attempting to set a new canopy skydiving record at Lake Wales Airport. In a canopy jump, participants jump from aircraft at staggered altitudes, then join together, hooking their feet into the lines of parachutes of jumpers beneath them. Lambreth, who is a veteran of about 5,000 jumps, was practicing on November 17th when his foot became entangled in the lines of a parachute below him. The other jumper was able to release his main chute and pull the safety, but Lambreth was unable to free himself and spiraled to a hard impact with the ground. He was reported to have suffered severe internal injuries, including a ruptured aorta. The remaining skydivers went on to set the record shortly before noon the following day. 100 jumpers created a diamond formation close to 200 feet wide and 200 feet high. That's big enough to show up on radar. Still ahead, Cessna will build the Skycatcher offshore. Sonex will now deliver your kit with pre-built wing spars. And NASA names a new shuttle astronaut. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 26, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna is expected to announce this week where the 162 Skycatcher light sport aircraft will be built. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton is being upfront by admitting in advance that production won't be happening in Kansas or anywhere else in the U.S. The Wichita Eagle reports Pelton is saying that to meet the plane's price point, quote, a major part of that content has to be built someplace else, unquote. Cessna spokesman Bob Stangerone told the paper company officials have scouted locations in Argentina, Australia, China, the Czech Republic, India, and Poland. Pelton added, quote, we have looked literally everywhere in the world, unquote. The company reports that of the first 1,162s offered at an introductory price of $109,500, 850 of the planes are already spoken for. First flight is scheduled for the first half of 2008, with deliveries to begin in the second half of 2009. Cessna has reminded Kansans that it will add 1,500 employees next year to increase production of hot-selling Citation business jets, and the 1,200 of those will be in Wichita. As for the Skycatcher's role within the company lineup, Pelton was clear, quote, while we wanted the light sport to stimulate new pilot starts and stimulate flight training, with this low cost, we aren't going to let it become distractive, unquote. Sonex Aircraft is introducing pre-assembled main wing spars for Sonex and Wayex airframes. The company says the option remains in full compliance with the FAA's experimental amateur-built major portion regulations, but saves significant build time for an additional $2,200 at the time of order. Sonex Aircraft CEO Jeremy Monnet says, quote, this new optional major assembly will make Sonex and Wayex complete airframe kits even faster and easier to build, further reducing build time on two of the quickest build airframe kits in their class. Combined with the affordable option of the Aero V 2.0 engine kit, a complete Sonex with everything required from spinner to tailwheel, including engine, upholstery, propeller, and instruments, can be purchased, constructed, and flown for under $26,000. No other aircraft manufacturer in the world delivers as much in a complete aircraft package for as little, unquote. The company says Sonic's customers who bought their kits before the pre-assembled spar option became available may send their spar caps and webs back to the company for assembly. NASA has replaced a crew member assigned to an upcoming space shuttle mission, STS-126. Astronaut Donald R. Pettit will take the place of astronaut Joan E. Higginbotham, who has left NASA to accept a position in the private sector. The mission is targeted to launch in September 2008 and will deliver equipment to the International Space Station. Higginbotham flew as a mission specialist on STS-116 in December of 2006. She began her career at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in 1987, contributing to 53 space shuttle launches. She was selected as an astronaut in 1996. STS-126 will be Pettit's second spaceflight. He'll serve as a mission specialist aboard the shuttle Endeavour. He joins previously named crew members Commander Christopher J. Ferguson, Pilot Eric A. Bow, and mission specialists Stephen G. Bowen, Robert S. Kimbrough, and Heidi Marie M. Stefanishin-Piper. Pettit first flew as a crew member of Expedition 6, logging more than 161 days in space, including more than 13 hours during two spacewalks. He was selected as an astronaut in 1996. And finally, while many of our listeners were enjoying a home-cooked Thanksgiving meal on Thursday, airline workers had to stay on the job to get us all over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. United Airlines tried to show compassion and mend some union fences by providing almost 3,000 of its employees spending the holiday on the job at Chicago O'Hare with catered Thanksgiving dinners. Unions representing United employees, including the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association Local 4, are really miffed that after giving up pay and benefits to help keep the company afloat, while executives earned fat bonuses, those same execs are now pushing the idea that, quote, we're all in this together, unquote. Apparently, the catered dinner did not turn things around. In fact, AMFA Local 4 President Don Wolfel told the AP, quote, there were questions about whether the turkey smelled quite right. The popular opinion was that it didn't, unquote. Lest you think this was a metaphor, a United spokeswoman told the AP that one of the day shift meals ended after staff deemed the turkey, quote, not edible. Five United employees even sought medical attention for nausea and vomiting after the meal. So, if the worst thing turkey dinners have done to you is made you feel sleepy, now you have one more thing to be thankful for. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll talk about the important capabilities and special considerations that come with GPS-equipped aircraft. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.